so you have more batteries?
I think so.
We're back from recess. Mr. Hayes, you have the floor.
Morning, gentlemen. Basically, we're going to go over most of our road and bridge operations. We've got currently what we've got is our ARC map brought up. We use this extensively within the road and bridge operations. We also have made this available at each one of the shops for the guys to use. It's a useful tool for them to use also. Right now, this is basically like your 911 map, has all the roads within the county on there, and then I'll have Kathy turn on our county-maintained roads.
No. What am I looking at right now?
Click that off just a second.
Back.
Right now, you're looking at all the roads within the county. The black roads are MoDOT highways. These are the numbered and lettered roads within the county. That's MoDOT highways there. The brown roads you see, that's all of the roads within the county.
Okay.
Now, what you're looking at basically is all of the maintained roads, and we color code these roads basically for our use. All of the colored roads you see here in green, red, and purple, that's by surface type. The purple ones being the hot mix roads, red ones are chip seal, green ones are gravel. Now, you also see a yellow that, because of budget constraints, a lot of our hot mix overlay roads, we started chip sealing over that surface just to prolong it because we didn't have the budget to go back and do another overlay on these, so we started chip and sealing some of these roads to get them by a few more years. And that's just for our use to kind of see which roads are the overlays and that we've done that to. The other thing I want to show you is...
Can I ask you a question before you go on? The green roads are the roads that are still in gravel. Do we have any of those that are scheduled to go from gravel to chip and seal this year? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have a few of them. There's probably less than 2 miles of those roads that are on there, and they're in a list there that we have here. That's a lot of them are short.
Okay.
If you wanted to show you one thing, location of our facilities that we have the F Highway Salt Barn, we have the Buchanan shop, we have the Mount Branson shop, Bradleyville shop, the Hilda shop here. We have the Bradleyville Salt Barn and shop, the mechanics facility, and then the 86 facility. That's what the little square markings are.
When you say 86, that's the one down on Tate Road?
That's the one down Tate Road. That's our salt facility there. So right now with the addition of the Mount Branson, it kind of gives a little better coverage within the populated areas. Turn on the shop areas, the three right there. You find that list. What we have here is basically we've separated out a few of our areas into three basic areas, and it basically what this helped with is coverage or response, different areas, work order type, snow removal. So each shop has a designated area that they do their kind of routine maintenance. They also, as far as snow removal, that's their area. And they have several basic routes within these designated areas. Kathy, if you would, turn on the snow routes, and if you would, turn off the county maintained.
On the one in the lower southwest corner where Devon is listed?
Right.
So that falls in both district number one and two commission districts, right?
Right, and so does the north.
One on top?
The one in Davids are in both districts.
Okay.
Now what you see here is basically on our snow removal, we use these snow routes. We've got the entire county divided up into segments, and these snow routes that we have listed out here, the guys will use one to two vehicles on each one of these color-coded routes. So we get a coverage throughout the whole county and better response. The whole county kind of gets covered at one time, and they have priority roads within these that are most heavily traveled roads. They will send snow plows and stuff too, and they also do pre-treating. That's how we have our snow routes kind of laid out and work that type of work.
What's your color code on this one?
Basically, they're just color coded by the geographically the routes that we've done for several years, and the better response pro tem area, they'll send a couple rigs. We just have that whole area in the southeast corner is basically that's one route, so they'll send a couple rigs.
I got you. Okay,
there.
So it's by route.
It's by route. It's not by any surface type. It's
okay.
Just by route. And Devon's area here, he's probably got six routes split up within that area there. Same thing with David. He's got his area, and it's. They'll, the Bee Creek area, they'll send a smaller vehicle in more residential areas. The rural areas like Bear Creek Country, they send one vehicle up there, spreader and plow, grader, whatever's needed, take care of that area. So everything's kind of divided up into a different area. They'll send a vehicle to maintain. That way we'll get a wide coverage. And it's, so far it's worked fairly well as being able to get things clean fairly quickly.
On this Buchanan barn, does that include the transfer station or no?
Yes.
The 15 in 15 employees?
No, I don't think that includes, that doesn't include the transfer station employees. Okay. Do you guys have any questions? Now we use this. We use these routes also if we get storm related. If they send the guys out and want to split them up so they get good coverage, they'll designate a using the snow route type deal. They're just an area. They'll send crews to basically you cover that route there, and we get the roads checked out, and they know they've got all these listed out on the sheet, so we don't miss any roads that way. So we can use that several different ways. You can turn that part off if you want to, and turn the Kathy, is all the 911 roads turned on?
Yeah, they're on.
Okay. Okay, we got that. Now, along with the ARC map, we also use a program called Cartograph that we work right along with this, and this is how we track all of our activities, our expenditures as far as what we do to roads. We track all this, and it's helped greatly in different things, FEMA events, having to pull records back out, how much did we spend here, what material, equipment-wise. The guys basically fill out a daily project sheet, and we'll give you copies of our daily project sheet also. If you notice on there, we've got one for each different shop has their own project sheet, but they all have the same codes within the back of the sheet, and these codes is what we use in the Cartograph system as to different activities, whatever they're doing, and it covers all of the operations of what we do within Road and Bridge. So it makes it simpler rather than the employees or supervisors having to write it out. All they got to do is just put a number in, basically fill in their name, who, you know, if they go down there and do a culvert work and then 3-4 man crew, they just list the 3-4 men that went down there, the time they spent, and then on the back it's got the activity related to culvert. So when we pull the information back out, it's all the same information basically. And this is the cartograph as far as how we do a work order is created. If a person calls in with an issue or a complaint, we would send either a supervisor or somebody out. If it's something that's kind of questionable, we need to go look at it. We would send one out for an inspection. They would figure out what we need to do. We'd change that to a work order, send that to whatever designated barn, and then they would go take care of the problem, fill out a worksheet or the work order relating to what they'd done, send that back, and then we close it out. And then we have a record of that, so whatever time after that, we can always go back and refer and also run reports at the end of the year. How much culvert work we've done or for different activities we can run different reports on.
Randy, where did this program come from?
This program was purchased, I believe, when Dan Ratterman's here as Road and Bridge Administrator. I think that's about the time they purchased, and we started initially using and entering the roads into this program. But we didn't utilize it at that time. We just basically, Kathy and Cammie actually entered the original roads in there into this program, and little by little we just started learning more and using it, and today we're actually being able to use it a whole lot more to our advantage and correcting information in there so we get good information in so we can retrieve.
How are updates received to this? Or are there?
That you may. Basically, we pay an annual fee.
We pay maintenance.
License and
what's
so
the maintenance fee cost us, Kat?
It was around $7,000.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm. Really? Kathy, yeah.
So many licenses. There's so many licenses with it. And I think there's 4.
I want you to remind me. I want to tell you about a couple that I've looked at nationally that are just... Let me ask a question. Does this have the ability, if John Doe calls in and has a complaint, that you enter in that the complaint was made, when the road's worked on, it will notify John Doe by email, by tweet, by text, by however we set it up, that work is happening? Can you get into this program from your phone, for example, smartphone?
We could, I think, with additional.
That'll have like a customer on the internet that can go in and do the work. Like they can go in and click on that program from their computer, phone, or whatever to send us a complaint on a road. We didn't buy that part of it.
Will you remind me for us to chat about that?
Okay.
Thank you.
What you're looking at here is basically a record on a particular county road information. That information was put in there, the type of road, chip seal, the right-of-way width, pavement width, length of the road.
Okay. Randy, what I was talking about, visiting with you about taking these roads in, this would be handy to state a schedule maybe on a particular road or something that we take in that it might be. That it would be considered after a certain period of time for snow removal, or it's going to be chip and sealed in 1, 2, 3,
But if you want to go back to mapping right quick. Okay, leave the county maintained up and then go up. Here's how we use Cartograph, this both programs, and basically this is how we come up with that, and I'll give you a 2013 chip seal list.
Yeah, I'm talking about scheduling.
Right, this falls in kind of how we schedule depending on the road. If you would, scroll down. Okay. Now, in past history, we enter this information through the Cartograph, and we can schedule, we can put a date within that program that will bring this road up at a certain year or highlight it to this is a proposed timeline we want to schedule. So we can enter, as we enter the roads, we can put that information in it. How we derive at our annual chip seal is basically we know they're going to last 6-7 years, and right now I think we're on about a 7-year turnaround on our chip seals. Once we surface them, they'll come up in 6-7 years again. So in basically we start keeping better records of what we've done back here. So if you'll turn on 06 and the color there. Okay, everything that comes up blue is roads that we chip sealed in our annual chip seal in 06, and we turn on 07. And same thing here, and then 08 was a flood year, so not much happened in 08. We've done a lot of big projects, a lot of drainage repair and different things like that, so it really hurt our chip seal that year. And then again in 09. And we also, I happen to have the new chip seal on 09. It was a few roads that we've done that were new, kind of got back. And then back in 2010-11, of course, we had some other FEMA events affecting it. And downsizing, we're doing about 40, averaging 40 miles in the last 2 years is all we're able to do because of budget as far as miles for chip seal. And then, as you can see, you see it covering up, and now you can see is the overlaid roads, the purple, the gravel, but you're starting to see fewer of the red roads, which is a current chip seal. We go turn on 2013. You'll see what now these roads, the ones you see left in red, then will probably come up in 2014 schedule, and we'll review them. And that's how we've been doing it. And then 2015, we'll probably be back starting over at what we got in 06 and going on that circle again. That's kind of how we've got this thing pretty well running now. And we can change and adapt. But each road, we'll create that list through Cartograph, put it onto ArcMap. But we also go out and we review each road that we make a preliminary list, and then we narrow that down to fit within the budget. Along with the, of course, chip seal, we also schedule hot mix overlay depending on what I was trying to do is hit our most heavily traveled, busiest roads that require it. The ones we've done recently would have been like Coon Creek, Bird Road, roads like that, trying to get those overlaid. And I mean, we're talking about Fall Creek possibly this year, looking at it. Other roads, residential areas that had the overlay because of the cost, we've been looking at trying to pick up a few of them each year that we're doing chip seal to try to chip seal just to make those roads last a little bit longer and seal up the cracks. So.
When you're talking about additional chip and seal roads and other roads for the future, and I'm curious, don't have to answer, have the answer now, but I want to know how adversely that's going to be impacted by the decisions that we make to bring additional roads into the system for maintenance.
It will at a point impact them, depending on when we want to schedule to try to do these roads. If we can take them in and give us a year or two to kind of work on these, prep these roads, then kind of work them in to the system as far as maybe a new chip seal, or if it's already a paved road, we'll do some patching, do some minor repairs on it, and then we'll try to fit it into the schedule within the budget, depending on the length of the road. However much we think we can do at one time, we'll kind of work them in. Now, regular maintenance, you wouldn't see that much of a strain on the budget. I mean, you pick up an extra road here, yes, it will cost a little more time as far as removing snow. It just adds more time to our route, but we'll be able to cover them. Some of the other things we do within the road and bridge office is utility permits and entrance permits. All county maintained roads, different areas, people need building homes, different things if they're on a county maintained road, need to hook up to existing utilities. We have a permit process for that. Basically, we help them with this process. We do collect a bond, but once a road is put back and good condition, the bond is returned to them. All they're out basically is $25 for a little bit of office work, me reviewing it, and we work with electric companies, other utilities, sewer department, other contractors, right down to the private citizen that might need to hook into local water system if they build a house with. But we have a policy in place that we try to follow, and in the end, it just helps protect our road. If they need to hook up, the road gets at least put back, repaired.
Is this permit utilized by cable companies?
That's one of the things that at times we've had them where they're putting cable in, burying crossing. We've had to close down a couple of them because of cuts across without notifying us, and we have stopped work on a couple of different. Most of the companies will come contact us and let us know where they're going to do crossings, and yes, they will fill out permit and complete the work as designated in the permit.
If I'm not mistaken, there are some counties in the state of Missouri that receive a fee for the utilization.
Now this,
not just the application fee.
Right. This is mainly on stuff that requires cutting of the road surface or burying alongside the road. This has nothing to do with going aerial, basically.
It's been discussed before, Ron. Yeah. Probably needs to be considered. The more and more use of gas lines and utilities that are in our easements, we probably need to start considering a yearly fee on that.
One of the things that does slow down some of our work, but it's something that not only kind of helps protect us, Missouri One Dig, before we do any work, any type of ditch cleaning, we call that because there is getting to be a tremendous amount of utilities within the right-of-way in different roads. And, of course, now we have natural gas over Branson-Hollister area, so we have less out in the rural area, but over in here, I mean, it's even putting a signpost in, we'll call Missouri One Dig because we've had occasion to cut a telephone line or come close to hitting an electric line just putting a post anchor in. So. The other permit that we don't charge is mainly just to document, and that's a new entrance permit. The person building a home wants to connect her driveway to her road. We'd like for them to contact our office. The main reason we like to go look at it is making sure the driveway is being put in a safe location as far as site distance. And we have guidelines within the road standards that we can follow, and then we can size the culvert for them, tell them the length and the size. We also assist in helping put that in because there's a lot of times we'll have to do work to our own ditch line to prep work. So basically we'll document that just so we know where it's going in. And the homeowner purchases a culvert, and then we'll create a work order and go out and install it. Let's turn that, minimize that, and let's bring up some of the equipment if you want to just start turning them on. This is our dirt screen we use and some of the material that we acquire, ditch cleaning, different projects, excess material a lot of times gets hauled to our shops. We have some surplus piles. We bought this used last year, and it's becoming a great tool as making some of our material more usable. We can take it right back, build shoulders, use it for different, and then the bigger material left over, we can use that in different applications as far as round bridge structures, type stuff like that. Right now we have it at right here, it's sitting at Mount Branson. They sifted out a pretty good sized pile there and got their pile worked down. We've moved it now to Buchanan shop, and they're working some of that out, and then we'll be moving it to the Hilda shop to work out some material there. There's one of our dump trucks spreading material on a base gravel road, prepping and grading. There's grader working. This is one of our excavators, and this is the rubber tired excavator that we use. And this particular machine has the capability, somewhat of a regular excavator, but with tire wheels, we can use this on the hard surface roads. It has another bucket with it that they actually call a ditch cleaning bucket. It has a smooth, and it's fairly useful. And we also have a hammer attachment for this one. Right here we have four of these type vehicles. This is a tractor brush hog type vehicle that we use keeping our right-of-ways cleared. We have two of these particular items, and we also have two of these that are mounted on one-ton type trucks.
How sturdy are those? Do we have to do a lot of work maintenance on them? Or?
These required that type, yes. They require a little bit of maintenance, quite a bit of, you get a lot of cracking and different things. But as far as what you can do as far as maintaining the right-of-way, they're very useful. We try to use them more in the winter time than we do through the summer months, basically because of the amount of personnel, we're using them on other operations, but, and we refer to more sickle mowing type operations during there. The far left tower there is of course got extra weights. It has a big hydraulic tank on that, so when you're stretched out like that, you can see how how heavy that hog is leaning out there on the one side of the tractor. But very useful equipment. Okay. That's our new bucket truck. We purchased the body and the crane. We put it on one of our own chassis. So we have it now in operation. This is one of our backhoes. We only have one of these cat-type backhoes, but they're all fairly similar. They have several of them have the extended hoe option. They also have hammers and different buckets features to them. Right there. This is we have two of these machines. One's at Buchanan. We'll take them to whatever project we need them on. Very useful. This is a six-way angle dozer. And right here is one of our bigger pieces of equipment, the excavator. We have three of these machines. You see, this one has the thumb up here attachment. We finally finished and put one on the third one. Very useful.
That takes Joplin, a lot of Heflin maintenance.
Joplin, our ice debris, different debris. I mean, they can make quick work of that. We also have hammers to fit all three of these.
But that's a really neat
function. It's very useful for several applications. Here's our water truck that we bought in 07. Very useful machine. We have two of these. We don't use them very much anymore. They still have their place, but very limited because we use the excavator more. The excavator is more useful. This we can use in various locations, different things, but they're pretty much being phased out in for kind of what we're doing. That's one of our road tractors, the old one. This one used to be at the transfer station for many years.
I'm going to back up there when you're talking about that water truck.
Okay.
I had a guy call here the other day, a vendor call about dust control.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether he got in touch with you or not, but he was wanting to know about dust control. I told him that the county used water trucks and different things, but he wanted to know what county regs was on dust control material that they would want to use on private roads. And I told him he'd have to contact you. Didn't know. So I don't know, didn't know whether he did or not.
Yeah, no, I don't believe I talked to him. There's a couple different things you can do is that will help dust control. This is one of them, of course, but it's short-lived because as soon as it dries, you're right back in the dust. But there's a couple other products you can use that kind of helps that too. So. This is one of our old distributors used in the chip seal operation and patching. We have actually four of these, but one of them really doesn't work. We have three. Two fairly new units. This is one of them and one identical to it. This one in particular, we're using the chip seal program. This is not a very good picture. They should have backed it out of the shed, but this is our chip spreader, and you're looking at it from the back part of it. I'll actually get you a picture of this in operation showing you how this chip seal operation totally works, and I'm going to put that on video. Power broom right to the right of it, then of course the other distributor setting to the left of it. This is a crack sealer piece of equipment. It's towed behind a 550 type or pickup. Basically, you feed block material, asphalt material, similar to you've seen people sealing roofs, a similar type product. It heats it in here, and then you spray it out a wand. It's for filling cracks and or overlaid and chip seal roads. There's one of our end dump. We have three of these that we use with our road tractors, and of course we have several trailer pieces of equipment to move our equipment throughout the county. I think that's about all the equipment we have on there now. I'll show you some, if you start on some of the roads that, oh, right here is sweeper, right there. Just right to the right of your cursor, right there. This is a sweeper vac truck that we bought a few years ago. We use this on a lot of our curb and gutter streets. Very useful. We can also use that on our chip seal, different things, and sweep it and clean it up. It'll actually, rather than sweep it to the side, it'll sweep and pick it and put it right in the truck itself. Okay, let's just start going to some of the road projects that we've done in the past and different. This is a project we've done. It's called Boys Camp Road. This is the upper end where you turn off 176. Basically, we cut a bluff back, widened it, put in new guardrail. Here is the west end of Buchanan. Shortly after we improved this, widened and kind of moved a few corners, helped the approach there, put in guardrail. You see a retaining wall we put in, helped this end of it. There's another picture of the same road looking the other direction. This road's another widening and putting in a, this is Caney Creek Road off of W Highway. Required right away, cut the bluff back, improve the drainage, and then also put in guardrail. This is a Carter Street over by Clements Auto Salvage. This was a narrow road, had a lot of drainage issues. We went in and acquired additional right away. Put in curb and gutter and stormwater boxes, and then repaved. Right here is a picture of some of our flood damage. This is Lakeshore. We had a small bridge across here. It had kind of a rock type abutments, I-beam, and then a concrete deck. Show the finished, what we replaced it with. This is the guys working on it, almost completed. We put in a precast box structure with segmented block retaining walls on each corner. Should have a Lakeshore 2 and 3. Here's another picture of.
So that's where?
Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, this is Lakeshore Drive there, but in the camp, yes.
Yeah.
There's another picture. That box went together well, really a pretty unique box.
Well, quick question for you.
Yes.
Boxes like that would not work, for example, down at that round mountain. It's going to take a bridge, right?
That one will require a bridge, yes. There's
What about Short Creek?
Could
you put a small one of those on Short Creek?
You could utilize them, that type, you could utilize that on, Coon Creek, Short Creek.
There is one, Brandon. Same time the washout took place at Boys Camp, it also took the crossing out down at Casey Club, down in Short Creek there, and they put in the same type situation down on the lower side. You can't see it from the road as much, but the same box is right there on the right-hand side.
Talking about a little bit further up on Wisconsin.
I don't know what the name of the road
is. Right there on Wisconsin, you could utilize the same. You'd be wide, but not as high, but you could do the same thing at Wisconsin. Okay. I mean, what we've got there at Wisconsin right now, and that's something we want to work on, kind of look at something this year. We've got a low water structure that we need to do something with.
The problem is it's probably not well traveled.
We could either, couple options there. We could use a culvert and redo the concrete, or put in a precast box there. This job is Forsyth Taneyville along Swan Creek. This is one that periodically flooded, and we had to close the road for extended period of time, similar to Slough Hollow. Basically, we went in and we raised the road here a good 10 feet and put in guardrail along here, riprap. It's another picture of it. Here's one we've done recently. This is KDOT. There shortly after we finished the paving on it. This one, I believe, was closer to 11 feet of fill or more that we put in here over the existing road. There's another picture of KDOT. Here's a improvement to just an entrance, a small project that saved a lot of problems here. We acquired a right-of-way off a homeowner there, just widen out the entrance, make it more accessible for bigger vehicles, school buses.
That's a cooperative effort with the school districts. Yeah. Anytime they have a entrance where there's a safety issue, then we go in and do that type of situation right there where they don't have to cross the line of traffic on the other side. So.
Here's a bridge we built. This was 05 into 06 year. We had a real small structure, flooded frequently, several years old when we went in and engineered, changed the road alignment and constructed this bridge here, paved and built the road. Here's our latest bridge we had completed. See if you can find the picture of the previous structure it was in there. I don't know if that's during construction. That's finished. Oh, that's Poughkeepsie. I was trying to see which one.
That's the FEMA project, isn't it?
Yes. We're just trying to find what was there previous. I was thinking I had it on here somewhere. What was here? And this is a state inspected structure. But during some flooding, we actually lost part of the deck at Washdown Creek. It was a low water structure, and what we constructed here, it solved a lot of problems with the original structure. This is an actual bridge. Now, water can still go over this. This one was engineered on a 50-year event. Here is a box culvert. There was originally here a box type structure. This is on Cedar Park Road, T10. Basically, the structure itself was eroding and getting in poor shape, and it was too narrow. So what we've done here was size this box similar to the old one, just slightly bigger, and then ordered. And this is set in here with a crane in sections. These are about 6 foot wide, They have lifting holes on top there that they set these in place with a crane. There's probably four sections right there. And then we cast in place wing walls off the ends of these. And see, there should be a couple pictures of this being finished pictures.
Who's that guy on top?
Is it easier to build those bridges where there's no water like that? Or is it easier to build those where there's no water?
Yes, much easier. This is a picture of Fox Creek during construction. We got one span already set, and actually this was the day before they were ready to set the next two spans. Okay, there's another picture. That's a crane that set. You see the four segments in there. There should be a finished picture here. Stay right there, Ben. Here's a picture of Coon Creek. There should be a. This was during a flood event. It took all the surface off of the road, and there should be another one of these, Kathy, showing the lower side. What happens undermining? It may be off screen. We might have to minimize, but. Yeah, there. Here's another picture of Coon Creek. Now this one is under state inspection also because the number of culverts, and they add up to over 20 foot. They call, even though it's culverts, there's a clear span of over 20 foot, so it falls under their guidelines inspection. We'd come in and cleaned this up and poured concrete to, and then repaved over the top, so, this wasn't too hard to repair this and open the road back up, and it was really hard for this one to be closed any length of time.
You've got a copy of our picture of the finished product there?
Maybe.
They did that in about 2 days.
Yeah, we just went
under. Where I'm thinking then.
Yeah, it's down there.
Right there by VZ. Burns
Trading Shed.
Yeah. That's one we probably want to have another meeting, talk about bridge structures, different areas around, because that one floods frequently, and we have to close the road periodically to keep people from driving through there when it's too deep. It'll run down fairly quick, but there is a problem. Yeah, I got too much on my desktop and it's not showing everything there. I'm going to have trouble. There might be a finished picture of Painter there. You can bring up Shorty Cooper there while you're at it. Here's one that the road right here just below the jail. This is during construction. We had to cut and remove a lot of material here to be able to get this road shaped in. There should be a finished picture of this one also. I may just have to drive down there and look at it. It looks pretty good even still today. Any of this so far bring up any questions?
Uh,
One thing I want to bring up, how we track a road as far as MoDOT is our county inventory on our roads. We still use MoDOT's form. We just can't have it on our system. And we have the MoDOT used to do this many, many years ago, have a guy come around and they'd review all the county roads and write out a brief description. And I believe early 90s they quit that and turned that over to counties and cities to do. And so that was one of the first pass I've done in 2002 and 03 was go through the entire road inventory to make sure all of our roads was listed on this, turned into the state. And
so
then,
are all the roads that are listed here, or part of the roads that are listed here, are cart roads?
Part of the roads are cart roads. That's right. The original old roads, but all of the roads are listed here, turned into MoDOT on inventory.
What is the difference that would separate a road from being designated a cart road and a non-cart road?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
If we turn them, well, let me.
But we turn all of our roads into MoDOT. If we maintain a road, it's all turned into MoDOT, and it's based on miles. They don't care the surface type or anything. They just want the total miles that Taney County maintains.
Okay. Let me rephrase that question.
Okay.
It's my belief that they should accept all the roads that we turn in, and we'd be reimbursed on that. But you don't think that they have accepted all the roads that we turn in?
Yes, we should. Our money we receive from them is based on our total miles.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And that's so I keep we keep this up to date. If we take a road in, one of the first tasks when we enter it is this description, it gets turned straight into MoDOT, so we keep our records current, so there is no.
Okay.
Or if we remove a road, then we update them as to if a road goes away.
So this is our existing total, is the 560.3?
The 560.3 is our existing total miles we maintain.
Thank you, Ren.
Kathy, do we have a copy of that? We can. Okay, well, that I can give them this one. It, I couldn't make it any bigger. I'm sorry, but this we probably want to schedule a meeting later date. I would like to invite down an engineer that can explain more on this uh, 80-20 match as far as bridge projects. Currently, the inspector just finished inspecting all of Taney County's bridges. And this is MoDOT's map listing all of these structures that they currently have on state inventory that we currently, that they come and
don't we have a bridge book that has pictures of all this?
We've got two of them.
Okay.
And so I keep one current, and then I kept all of the, a lot of the, I've got another book with just a lot of the older bridges, all the history they've been replaced, but they can keep the older bridge book. We still have that. So you can look back to if you want to. These are all of our state inventories, and we're currently working to. We also have these on ArcMap. We can bring them up. We want to upgrade our records that we have on there to add pictures. So when you bring up one on ArcMap, you click on a picture also of the structure. Now, these are inspected every other year, and And then the, you guys will be receiving a report, and you'll probably want to get on your schedule, come down, meet, and explain the report and everything. So if we have anything defective, right now they didn't find anything. So, but some of them will have some maintenance issues or repair issues or different things.
So they didn't list any of our bridges as functionally obsolete or nothing?
Not yet. We do have some that they put a rating to them. And that, I apologize for being small, I couldn't make that any bigger. But that was a report that they sent us. They do have a rating that if it come to be a certain deficiency rating, then it would qualify for the 80-20 match type thing.
It's not connected with BR?
The BR, yes. The BRO is, yeah. That's at 80-20. Now, currently, that was... That end of it's a little difficult for me to understand yet, but right now we don't have any BRO funds. We're actually still in the hole on that. We have a lot of soft match, but we don't have that. But
what does soft match mean?
Huh?
What does soft match mean?
That's the part that I don't know how we derive at that. That's the reason I wanted to have another meeting, have somebody come in and help explain, whether it be part of MoDOT and also an engineer that understands that more.
When we were at the Commissioners Association meeting, it was being explained to me that we're in a good position, and following one more round of potential funding, that our situation will change, but that because of our soft match, we can move forward, and there are some funds.
Yes.
So I'm all for having individual come and explain to us exactly what we have, what we don't have, what we can do.
It actually showed right. We did have. So.
Yeah, the report that we got showed that we had funds.
And we brought that back. I'll give you my copy.
Right, and
he has it.
Yes. But I would like to, I've got several structures here listed that are candidates who have either upgrades or something done, but that I'd like to have a meeting by itself just to talk about different structures and what to do maybe in the short future, what we can do with them. So. Last item, real quickly, we also, on our road striping, we didn't have a picture of it, but we do have our own paint truck, road striper, that we use every year. We narrowed our list down to certain roads that we have to stripe every year. The first page is the roads that we do yearly. Which is about 36 miles, 37, and we'll actually do more than that, but that's the ones that we primarily need to do about every year. The next two pages are roads, and these aren't in any particular order, but are the roads that we do primarily every other year. And depending on what we can budget as far as our paint line item. What we can purchase. But all these roads on this list currently have center line and white striping. Okay. That's all I have, unless you gentlemen have any questions or something I can answer or help with.
On this road striping list, it says striping date. Is that just the original striping date?
That date in there, that's probably when it was done last and what we're...
But done last would be done. The original.
Well.
His question is, for example, look down at Casey Road. And it says, maybe I read that wrong. It looks like it says 96?
Yeah, 67, 96.
That record is not correct. That's what we need to correct. We'll put a, when they stripe it and the work order goes through, there will be a correct date. So when we run a report again, they will have the correct date of when it was striped last.
But this was done 3-4 years
that
ago,
was
maybe?
Probably when it was done originally.
Okay.
I just noticed you have it labeled yearly. Next page is every other year.
Right.
Next page is still every other year. So.
Within our budget, we try to buy so much paint every year, and we try to make that go as far as we can. But some the paint's only going to last so long, so we try to make sure we get our heavily traveled roads.
Is this true? Would these all be last year?
That's what I was wondering. That's why I asked if that was like the original striping date or not.
I wish there was some way to, where I'm going with this, Randy's good job on the presentation. Wish there was some way that we could get to the public a presentation like we have here now that shows the amount of work that's been done last 10 years even in this county with the bridges and the roads and things like that.
Those pictures were, and you kind of forget what they originally looked like. And
yeah.
There was a tremendous amount of work that the guys had completed, improvements, I mean, even small improvements like the Painter Road intersection, smaller box culverts. We actually done 3, 4, 5 of them in the last 10 years. I mean, several box structures all over the county. Three bridges. Fox Creek and Pro Tem Cedar Creek was just one, but actual bridges, and then we've done a lot of cast in place. Charlie's crew had done a tremendous amount of concrete work throughout the county in different areas.
That WW widening that was on there the first year, that the first week that I was in office, Neil Adams called me and just took me down there to show me that road, and he said that that's some of his relatives have rolled off into that steep embankment. Of course, we got guardrail and widening of it there now. And Road and Bridge went down there and did that project from that point all the way through. As we stood there, what I was going to get at is the safety. And I talked about the school safety issue. A school bus come by while we were standing there, and one of the dualies was off the edge of that on the back tires, and that's whenever I contacted Randy, and they got that job completed. So, there's
Randy, could I get you to turn to this cost per mile on chip and seal, and
okay,
help me with understand your costs here?
We basically use the budget.
Well, no, help. Let me ask a more specific question. Down where it has rock slash chips, and then at the top it says chip seal, it says 6 years. And then down there you've got $35,000 on rock and chips. Is that a chart? Is that a cost every 6 years on that particular type of road? Or
I'm looking at which. Okay. That is what we spent that year. I believe for the material, the rock and chips.
Okay. Let me ask you differently. $35,000 for rock and chips per mile. What is that?
No, it's not that much per mile. That's what we spent. What I was trying to get was to an annual cost.
Right,
based on the lifespan of a chip seal road, which we anticipated, it should average out 6 years. So what we've done, we was trying to get down to an annual cost to maintain a chip seal road.
What's the annual cost?
Right now I've got $2,371 per mile.
What's annually. The $35,000 figure?
I'm trying to think what I've got there. That should be based on the year, I believe, what we spent in chips. Mm-hmm. Should be what we spent in chips for year, per year. We know it.
A lot more than that? That can't be ready.
Hang on just a minute. Let me think of something here.
We spend $1 million a year in chips.
Maybe not in chips, Ron.
No, there's more cost in aggregate, but as far as what we spend for a chip seal, just material alone for 1 mile of chip seal is around, I believe, $14,000 per mile is what it costs us to do a chip seal. Oil and chips, that's just material. Well, what I was trying to get down to is what is the annual cost for the lifespan of that as to where you can base a yearly cost.
That's about $2,300.
Yes.
Hot mix, then, $5,100?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just told there's other numbers that's incorporated in the formula that's not shown there that comes up with that number.
Right.
Okay.
Basically, if we took our total budget, what we anticipate our total budget, and took the total miles, that 16,000 is what you figure you come up to. If you took your whole budget and divide your road system, and I don't really look at it that way. I look at it what we spend toward that type of surface road or different roads. I just have about 5 minutes I need as far as the exec session. So you want to schedule that.
Why don't we go ahead?
Let me, Randy, put that off for just a few minutes so that we can bring up the issue that we had scheduled for 11, which is nightly rental code amendments, and then we'll come back to your personnel issue if that's all right. For the public's edification, we had scheduled an executive session with Mr. Hayes regarding Rootin' Ridge, and we'll come back to that after our discussion regarding nightly rental code amendments, and then we'll finish with the future agendas and procedures work session. So our next order of business is the nightly rental code amendments. Mr. Ashley, would you join us, please? Now, was there a motion to move this to a future day? Sorry, Jan. Just checking to see if you're listening. Mr. Ashley, if I'm not mistaken, the proposed nightly rental amendments were recommended by the Taney County Planning Commission for adoption by the County Commission to the Taney County Development Guidance Code, as printed at the top of your sheet. The County Commission has gone through these with you, had some issues that they raised with you, met with County Council, and has, in fact, asked you to make two or three minute changes, of which you have done and presented back. Those that are larger in nature, the County Commission has asked for you to take back to planning and zoning so that, in fact, the public would have adequate time to address those at a public hearing, whether that be for or against whatever those recommendations and those parts of the guidance code would be. So we are here today with a new draft presented by yourself to this county commission for consideration. And that's where we're at, gentlemen, if I'm not mistaken.
The one or two word changes that were in a couple of, well, I guess in four different places that I remember, those have all been made, Mr. Ashley?
Yes, I believe so.
I'm looking through here to see and didn't want to oversight any of them, but I'm ready for it to move on to the public hearing. Would make a motion for the commission to do so.
When you say the public, you mean the small changes, go ahead and...
Yes.
And then the public hearing, I think that was just on one issue, is that right? That was brought up.
That goes back to P&Z. So,
yes. Yeah, so this right here would actually be, after reading this, going through the process we've gone to, I think that, these amendments simply just spell out what was already in place. And this way it also helps to ensure that the rights and the safety of all of our visitors and citizens, make sure that we keep those. So I would move to adopt the proposed nightly rental amendments as recommended by the Taney County Planning Commission.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adopt the proposed nightly rental agreements as recommended by the Taney County Planning Commission. Discussion. Let me note that these changes were brought about with oversight from county's legal counsel, with advice from county's legal counsel, and to reiterate what you said, are really a pronouncement of what P&Z was already doing with the public. It's just now spelled out so that there will not be any confusion, and we'll clear up some confusion that has existed in the past. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Mr. Atchley, for example, I know that one of the issues that was brought up was regarding swimming pools.
Yes, yes.
So specifically, before any such rules or regulations would be considered for change by this commission, it's our hope that that would be taken to public hearing so that the public could voice the pros and cons regarding such regulations regarding nightly rentals.
I have also drafted an order. These are to be adopted by order of the county commission.
Yes.
And would the commission prefer that I leave these with you, or do you wish to sign these?
We've just made the motion. If you bring that forth,
okay. And I've just handwritten in who has made the motion and who's made the second here.
Well, if you want to do that in typewritten form,
yeah,
you can bring them back
that.
And we'll sign.
Okay.
It makes no difference.
You bring
okay.
them back. I mean,
okay.
the motion's already been made. The
okay.
signatures.
At the bottom of page 4, while you're doing that, there are two roads that are words that are run together.
Okay.
You need to correct that.
Okay.
Under 4716, Brandon pointed out.
Okay.
Page 4.
Yes. Okay, I see it.
Yours is different than mine because mine's a full-length page. Why would that be?
Well, I've actually, what I did is I've typed out...
With the order, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
to go with the order, basically.
Are you asking for the presiding commissioner's signature or all three?
I've got all three.
If you want us to do that today, you need to expedite that process. And
okay.
If not, it'll be on Monday.
Okay. I can have these back over in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate all your time on that.
Thank you, Mr. Ashley. Yeah. A member of the press is sitting in the room. She may have some questions for you, sir.
Okay. Thank you again.
You want a kitty? Mr. Hayes, are you standing out there? Yes.
He's wanting to go into executive session.
Yeah, pursuant to 3. Move to go into executive pursuant to section 610.021.3.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to section 610.021 subsection 3. All in favor, say aye.
Danny, aye.
Brandon, aye.
And Ron, aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries.